Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we got lots to talk about this weekend as we wrap up some of the stuff that, well, we weren't able to cover because it was Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. And I certainly did. Spent time with many family members and got a little R&R. And we're here to take your phone calls. 877-726-8255 is our number. We've got lots to share with you this weekend. We're going to take a look at energy drink use among servicemen. Maybe, well, instead of enhancing performance, impairing performance. That's one of the top stories this week. Also, an antioxidant that can slow cognitive decline in diabetes. 877-726-8255 if you want to get in with a question. And this is also the aftermath of the great lettuce panic. And how it hit me was, well, I had just gone to the market and bought a bunch of provisions. And for me, of course, having no romaine lettuce in the refrigerator is an emergency. So I went to the market, got my romaine lettuce, neatly packaged, fresh, and then went home and checked my iPad, and there was a big alert. Romaine lettuce recall. Get rid of your romaine lettuce. By all means, don't eat it. And if it's even been in your refrigerator, swab down your refrigerator. And I looked at this perfect package of romaine lettuce, and I felt kind of sad, and I put it in the refrigerator, and I just kind of looked at it for a few days, and I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, it's okay to eat it because, well, after all, it is organic. But then the warning said that no matter what the source of your romaine lettuce, you had to dispose of it because it could give you potentially deadly E. coli. And I looked at it, and I was tempted to eat it. I was even tempted to clean it with Clorox, put a capful of Clorox in some water and clean it. But they said that no method of cleaning is safe because the E. coli could be deeply embedded within the plant cells, not amenable to whatever cleansing agent you're using. You could wash and wash and wash. And they said, just get rid of it. And I hate to throw away food, but ultimately it hit the trash can. And then I read this very interesting article in the Wall Street Journal. Let us try not to panic. Okay, spelled L-E-T-T-U-C-E, play on words. And the subtitle is, will a tragic overreaction topple Caesar and lead to the decline of the Romaine Empire? And they run a little bit of a statistical analysis on this, and I thought this was kind of interesting, because a bunch of people got sick. 43 people in the entire United States known to be infected with E. coli 015787. And so they did an investigation, and they interviewed 25 out of 43. So already the numbers are diminishing. It turns out that 88% of those 25 people, but not 100%, as opposed to 40% of the general populace who did not get E. coli, said they ate romaine lettuce in the week before they got sick. So, you know, if this were a trial, you know, a murder trial, this would be very circumstantial evidence. But they concluded that it probably was romaine that got these people sick. 16, severely enough to be hospitalized, that's out of 43. Well, let's run some statistics on this. The U.S. population is about 326 million. And let's assume that roughly half, about 47% of the population, eats romaine each week. I probably eat romaine virtually every day. So that's about 153 million people. Now, we know that 43 people who were infected with E. coli may have gotten it from romaine lettuce. And so, again, statistically, if we assume that each of those 153 million people eats one serving of romaine each week, Then we can figure that there were 459 million servings consumed during the 3 weeks the infection was being transmitted. You see where I'm getting to? 459 million servings, that's about half a billion servings, 43 people got sick. So let's crunch the numbers. This means that the odds of eating a serving of romaine lettuce that will make you sick are about 1 in 11 million, and fewer people will hospitalize, so the odds they'll put you in the hospital are less than 1 in 28 million. Now, to put that in perspective, for you poker players out there, the odds of getting a royal flush is dozens of times as great. That's 1 in 649,740. I personally haven't had the pleasure. I don't play that much poker, but few people do. The probability of an amateur hitting a hole-in-one in golf is hundreds of times as great at 1 in 12,000. That's not going to happen. And the odds of getting killed by a dog attack are also 1 in 112,000, which is a lot greater than 1 in 28 million, which are the odds that eating some romaine lettuce will put you in the hospital. So, another way of putting it, again, this is statistics. If the outbreak were active and you ate one salad a day on average, you'd be hospitalized for E. coli once every 77,000 years. And this may overstate the problem because, you know, one of the things I thought about was like, who's getting sick? Aren't these people who have some kind of questionable history? Maybe they're immunosuppressed. There's so many people taking medication that literally suppresses the immune system intentionally in this country, or perhaps people who've received cancer chemotherapy, or perhaps people who are sick with some genetic bubble boy disease that makes them more susceptible to infectious agents. We don't know because the CDC never really disclosed the risks of people who got sick. And so, in an overabundance of caution, they told you to throw out all your romaine lettuce and swab down your refrigerator and wait for further instructions. And sure enough, romaine lettuce will soon be making its way back into the supermarket aisles and it'll be safe to eat again. Or will it be? Because ultimately, with any food, there's a potential chance that an errant farm worker or an animal or a bird might poop some E. coli on your salad ingredient, and you might ultimately get sick. But the risks of that are infinitesimally small. And lest we be paranoid about the food we're eating, this Wall Street Journal article urges us, let us try not to panic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number for questions, 877-726-8255, and they're coming in. We'll take some of your questions momentarily here in this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Be proactive. Sure, you take your daily vitamins, but do you replenish the glutathione levels in your body as part of your long-term health strategy? Glutathione is our body's primary antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. As we age, our levels decrease, making it important to continually boost our glutathione levels. Why is RegActive so groundbreaking and so important? Backed by over 20 years of published research, RegActive products contain ME3, a patented probiotic delivery system which carries glutathione past our stomach acids and into our bodies, stimulating our own body's production of glutathione. It's a paradigm-changing approach to health and anti-aging wellness. Join our family today. Our RegActive family of glutathione-producing supplements, liver and detox, cardio wellness, and immune and vitality. Be proactive. Choose RegActive. Available online and coming to fine natural products retailers nationwide.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. The lines are open for your questions. You can call us at 877-726-8255. Anything related to intelligent medicine is fair game. That means the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We put it all together in a package for you each weekend here on Intelligent Medicine. And let's hear now from Mike in Philadelphia. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Hoffman.
My pleasure.
Because I don't eat liver, and because I don't want to rely on my body's ability to convert beta-carotene in yams, say, into the retinol, you know, the active form of vitamin A, I've been entertaining cod liver oil supplements. And in shopping around for them, I'm really kind of confused and frustrated because a lot of the labels on the cod liver oils will say things like vitamin A from cod liver oil and retinol palmitate, which I guess is the synthetic form.
Right.
So it seems like they're spiking the cod liver oil with synthetic vitamin A, and it still tastes nasty. Why don't I just go for the synthetic, you know, vitamin A and just skip the whole cod liver thing altogether? I'd prefer to get something that's all natural, but the ones, it seems like it's only like 15% of the daily value in a teaspoon, though some supplements, some cod liver oils say 90%. It's very confusing.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I'm looking as we speak, at the label of Carlson, cod liver oil, which is a really nice product. I mean, it's nicely flavored. It actually has a fairly high level of DHA and EPA. Interestingly, the ratio of DHA, to EPA, there's a little more DHA than EPA in there, which is good for brain. There's about 500 milligrams of DHA in each teaspoon, and there's 400 milligrams of EPA in each teaspoon, which is a pretty generous amount. I mean, you may want to take a tablespoon, to get your full amount of that. But the problem with cod liver oil is that unintentionally, because cod liver oil isn't purified, it's a fairly high source of vitamin A and vitamin D. Now, that is good in a way because you want those things. Vitamin A helps the immune system. It's good for skin. And vitamin D, of course, you know, I just can't stop talking about all the benefits of vitamin D. But the concern is if you take lots of the cod liver oil to get your omega-3s, you may get an overdose of vitamin A or vitamin D. In particular, vitamin A is a concern because we know if we overdose on vitamin A, that's potentially a problem. From what I'm seeing here, I agree with you. There is some retinal palmitate in this product, and I'll have to ask the manufacturer if they actually, as you say, spike it with vitamin A. I can't imagine why they would, because there's plenty of vitamin A already in fish oil, in cod liver oil, naturally. And you'd have to have quite a few teaspoons to exceed the threshold of 5,000 international units, which is considered being potentially a toxic level, especially for pregnant women. We're kind of concerned about that. I guess I'll have to send a email out to the Carlson folks, who I talk to on a regular basis, they're one of our sponsors, and find out what the deal is, you know, whether it's added. Does that help you a little bit? I mean, I guess you don't have a definitive answer yet.
Well, I guess my question is, I'm aiming to get at least 100% of the daily value, and that looks like, you know, it's only like 17% of the daily value per teaspoon, so I'm taking at least 5 teaspoons, so it doesn't seem particularly...
But you're getting other dietary sources of vitamin A, and also you can convert, most people can convert the beta-carotene or the carotenoids in the diet to, which is pre-vitamin A, to vitamin A. So you are getting a boost. I mean, it's not as if you're going to go deficient without taking cod liver oil. I mean, one of the reasons why cod liver oil was such a wonderful supplement, you know, it's sort of in the pre modern supplement era. You know, it's like your grandparents took cod liver oil and may have saved them from dying of infectious diseases because of the high content of vitamin A. It may have protected them from deficiency of essential fatty acids, because who knew what they ate and, you know, the deprived environments that they were in, and that was their only source of fish, because, say, if you grew up in Indiana, you wouldn't get any omega-3 fatty acids. There weren't any seafood restaurants or chains. You know, Long John Silver hadn't made its way to, Des Moines. with the vitamin D, of course, vitamin D saved many kids from rickets, but also from infectious diseases. It turns out that tuberculosis, which is fairly common in the 1800s, they sent kids to sanatoria in the mountains so that they could get sun rays. What they didn't realize was that was making vitamin D. And, of course, cod liver oil was part of the protective program that parents, you know, my grandparents tell me that they had to taste this awful stuff. The parents, you know, you hold your nose and, you know, a spoonful of medicine, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. You know, that whole thing.
Sure.
That it used to be a real staple. So I'm actually pleased to see, you know, I tend to poo-poo cod liver oil, but I'm actually pleased to see that it actually has, it's very economical, has a relatively high content of especially DHA and EPA. And a little bit on a daily basis isn't going to hurt you.
What about the molecularly distilled versions of cod liver oil? What are your views of molecular distillation for oils?
Yeah, that's a little above my pay grade. I'm going to, you know, you're prompting me to do a little disquisition on the subject of cod liver oil, and I know the folks to talk to, and maybe we'll do that on a future broadcast, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Great questions. Let's talk now to, let's see if we can get a question in from Roger from North Carolina. Hi, Roger.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I recently read a study that indicated that men who eat 2.5 eggs per week have a 85% greater risk of getting prostate cancer.
Actually, that's not quite correct. Yeah. I'm familiar with the study you're talking about. I hear the bottom of the hour music coming on. And let's tackle that issue. Do eggs actually increase your risk of dying of prostate cancer? Some studies suggest that might be the case. Let's tackle that when we return. I'm okay. Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Stay with us. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And we have a question from Roger in North Carolina. And Roger's question has to do with the alleged association between egg consumption and prostate cancer. Are you with us, Roger?
Yeah, I wanted to just throw in something else. I don't know if
sure.
this study was controlled for other factors. For example, maybe men who eat a lot of eggs also eat bacon. Maybe
exactly.
Maybe they're sedentary. You know, in other words,
you're thinking like a real scientist there, because there are what are called confounders. So, for example, mm-hmm. we can say that people who eat tons of meat may get more cancer. Colon cancer, for example. But maybe the folks who eat the tons of meat, they also eat, they're not as careful, maybe they don't exercise as much, vegetarians and vegans, they tend mm-hmm. to do yoga and biofeedback, they're real health enthusiasts, maybe they're taking supplements, while I'm a carnivore and I eat meat, but I also make sure they have tons of vegetables. Some meat eaters eschew vegetables, and similarly, that may be the case for folks who eat a lot of eggs. You know, they just eat fried eggs and bacon or ham or sausage, and they're done with that. And maybe their only vegetable during the day is the ketchup that they put on their hash browns. You know,
right?
So that can be part of the problem with studies like this. The study, I'm looking at it here, involved over 27,000 men, but the problem is statistically, very few men died during the study. And so the study claims that men who ate 2.5 eggs per week, well, boy, I would have had prostate cancer by the time I was 45.
I eat eggs almost every day. Yeah,
exactly. So they said that those men had more than 81% increase in prostate cancer. spreading or becoming lethal. Okay, now this is not looking for whether eggs caused prostate cancer to begin with. It suggested that if you were to have prostate cancer, that eating eggs may have been an accelerant. But I say may because, in fact, the author of the study, who is Dr. Stephen Kaplan, he's a prominent prostate researcher here in New York at New York Presbyterian Hospital and Weill Cornell Medical Center. He stated that the results could simply be a coincidence. But this is what's called a hypothesis-forming study. In other words, it suggests that we should look into this association, but it doesn't say definitively that eggs cause prostate cancer. It certainly doesn't say that, but it says that possibly if you have prostate cancer, lots of consumption of eggs could be a problem. Now, so what could be doing that? Well, eggs are a source of saturated fat. Yes, they're also a source of cholesterol, but those have not necessarily been associated with prostate cancer progression. Eggs certainly are rich in protein, and there is some concern that Walter Longo, who's been a guest on our program, suggests that for cancer prevention, we kind of want to keep our protein moderate. Because if we really overdo protein, protein might increase something called IGF-1, which is a growth factor, insulin-like growth factor, which might be a cancer promoter for certain cancers, especially prostate cancer. If men get prostate cancer, I suggest they moderate their protein intake. I suggest that they are be on a plant-based diet, not to the exclusion of animal protein, that they really decrease their intake of sugar, because sugar promotes insulin production. We know that insulin is a cancer driver, and certainly obesity is associated with survival or lack of survival of prostate cancer. The fatter you are, the more likely your prostate cancer will metastasize and threaten your life. Again, this is one of these studies which is perplexing. As you state, it looks like you're a bit of a study connoisseur, and you kind of look behind the headlines and suggest that maybe correlation is not necessarily causation. Yes, there can be an association, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the driving force behind the cancers. Another thing about eggs, very rich in methionine. It's an amino acid that some studies suggest that in cancer, you may want to restrict methionine to slow the progression of cancer. There's actually some work on that, on low methionine diets for patients with cancer to slow the, just in effect, starve the cancer of one of the nutrients the cancer needs to replicate. So there you have it.
They say that every man generally over the age of 70 has some prostate cancer cells.
Yes, yes.
Now, I'm a very young 70, but I'm 70.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Maybe I have prostate cancer cells, don't even know about it. So where does that leave me?
So where that leaves you is that, if we did an autopsy on every 70-year-old man, in other words, not just a prostate biopsy, because prostate biopsies, you can sometimes miss the cancer. It's sort of like, slicing and dicing the prostate while it's inside you. It may not reveal the presence of tiny, tiny nests of precancerous or cancerous cells. So, you die, they take your prostate out, and they slice it and dice it, and very likely they'll find some prostate cancer. So what that means, it's actually kind of encouraging. It means that we age, and this applies to women as well, especially for breast cancer, is that cancer events are occurring in our organs, but our immune systems and the various checks and balances within our genetic code keep the cancer at bay. They're what are called cancer suppressor genes. And for cancer to occur, it's not just a matter of a single mutation. It's a series of misfires that cause the beginnings of precancer and then cancer cells to develop, but also the control mechanisms that keep cancer at bay get suspended. And, of course, as you age, more and more mutations occur. And so where that leaves you is that you should be on a healthy diet and pickle your body in all kinds of healthy nutrients like lycopene and EGCG from green tea and aged garlic extract, vitamin D, selenium, All these nutrients and many others have cancer protective effects. So furfane and broccoli extracts, these have powerful effects in terms of being controls on the proliferation of cancer. Fish oil, too, also may have this effect. So where that leaves you is, you know, where the rest of us older guys are, you know. We're all pre-terminal, but we can slow the progression towards disease and death through various interventions, especially with a healthy diet, okay? And exercise. And exercise actually makes a difference in prostate cancer mortality. So keep up the good work. All right, 877-726-8255 is our number. They just did a big study on folks in the military. And what they found, you know, there are all these energy drinks that are out there. Our kids use them. They use them so that when they go out and drink a lot, they don't feel the effects of the alcohol, but ultimately that's a fool's paradise because the cumulative poisons of the alcohol take their toll while they feel awake because there's lots and lots of caffeine in these energy drinks. That's the common denominator of all these drinks like Monster and so on. This article says that energy drink use has become widespread in the military, but it's associated with mental health problems and other behavioral and health problems such as aggression and fatigue is unclear. So this is a big study. It's like a 60-page study. I'll summarize it for you. What they found was that 76% of soldiers had consumed energy drinks in the past month. And high energy drink use was associated with mental health problems, such as aggressive behaviors, and interestingly, fatigue, especially when those folks were drinking lots and lots of energy drinks. So high energy drink use, they say, was reported by 1 in 6 soldiers. It's particularly a problem in the Air Force, where apparently there's a lot of need for staying awake during long missions. You know, not just the pilots, but also the air traffic controllers, the ground personnel, and so on, that have to stay alert. So we really need to look at how energy drink use, especially chronic high-level use, can impact mental behavior. This, by the way, is a $21 billion industry in the USA. And actually, they encourage the use of these energy drinks. It's subsidized by the military and military PXs so that the young guys and gals can chug down these energy drinks. And they can cause sleep problems. They can cause depression, aggressive behaviors, and ultimately, you know, it's like overdrawing your credit cards. You know, you charge it, and you end up with a big debit. Well, same thing happens with your energy. When you use energy drinks, it's a false energy, and you deplete your energy stores, and ultimately this causes a serious problem. And we're having enough problems with our military because so many military folks are unfit. They're obese. They're out of shape. They can't meet the physical performance criteria for combat deployment. We're finding that fewer and fewer of our potential enlistees qualify because they're out of shape and overweight. That's one problem. This is another problem that compounds our military preparedness. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. As always, I strive to provide you with the tools you need to make informed choices beyond the cookie-cutter care of today's healthcare system, and these new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle.
the same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. You know, we're talking about energy drinks. And, you know, as people just looking for energy. And, you know, there are so many natural ways to support energy without a jangling effect on your nerves, without sleep deprivation, without aggression, without raising your blood pressure, palpitations, all the side effects associated with these speed-like formulas that you can only sell them at gas stations, for goodness. Well, I guess it's a good place because, you know, going to do cross-country drive, you know, and you want to not nod off your... you know, if you're a interstate trucker, I guess, yeah, okay, maybe, but, there are better alternatives. For example, NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. You've heard me talk about it. It works on the mitochondria, and the mitochondria are the energy powerhouses of the cells. Well, you've heard me talk for a long time about ProPax with NT Factor. That's a one-stop shop for your vitamin and mineral needs. But a while ago, I suggested to Nutritional Therapeutics, the makers of ProPax with NT Factor, that some people may want to keep their favorite multi and yet still harness the power of NT Factor. So Healthy Aging was born. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. And it comes with a 45-day money-back guarantee. And now for a limited time, when you buy one bottle of Healthy Aging, you get another one free. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout. I've been personally taking advantage of the restorative power of NT Factor for years. I don't go a day without it, and I prescribe it to my patients. You can get Healthy Aging by calling this number, 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. And remember, use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout for the buy one, get one free offer. That's ntfactor.com. Okay, let's take a call now from, hi, David.
Oh, hi, doctor. When people grow older and reach their 50s, 60s, and 70s, do you believe people should get a Heidelberg test to check if they have sufficient stomach acid?
Yeah, okay, so what that is, it's actually a test that I did back in the 80s and in the early 90s. And what it involves is you swallow a capsule, and the capsule goes into your stomach, and it measures your pH, the acidity or lack thereof in your stomach. And I have since abandoned the use of it for a couple of reasons. One is I'm not sure it's such a great idea for people to swallow what is essentially an indigestible capsule. It's a mechanical pill that usually, I just heard a story about how they've done a study on how long it takes for kids to expel Legos that they inadvertently swallow. And I think they came up with a statistic that it takes 1.7 days for kids to expel a Lego, undigested, of course, and it ultimately comes out. But, you know, the concern is that especially with people who have certain intestinal conditions, it may not be good to swallow a hard object that includes electronic components. Now, I know they do this. They have what are called cameras, that miniature cameras that people swallow because scopes can see stuff from above into your stomach and even in past your stomach into your duodenum, and from below via the rectal route. That's called sigmoidoscopy or colonoscopy, but there's an in-between area, sort of a no-man's land, where you can't reach with a scope, and sometimes people swallow a camera, and that's done in conventional medicine. But occasionally, very rarely, a dangerous thing happens. The capsule gets stuck, and it breaks through the intestinal lining, especially if you have diverticulosis or diverticulitis. You have a thinned intestinal lining with little outpocketings that are fairly fragile. And so the concern is, you know, let's limit our exposure to these things. Yeah, okay, kids swallow Legos and, you know, pot smugglers swallow all kinds of things, you know, or cocaine smugglers. But let's limit the amount of indigestible things that we put into our bodies. And plus, the information that you get is kind of unreliable because, you know, the stomach at rest, it may not produce that much stomach acid. Okay, I get it. The fact that you get a low reading in stomach acid when you're sitting in a chair without an actual meal challenge doesn't necessarily indicate that you have an inadequate hydrochloric acid production in your stomach. What you can do, though, and this is something I do, is when patients complain that when they have a big meal or a high-protein meal, and they feel like the food is stuck in their craw, they can't digest it well, I will do what's called an empirical trial of hydrochloric acid. I'll give people betaine hydrochloride, a couple of pills before a meal, at the beginning of a meal, and we'll see if they feel better. And on the basis of that, that can become a routine. On the other hand, you have to be careful because some people have inflamed tissue in their esophagus or stomach, and taking additional acid is going to make things worse. But, you know, there's tens and tens of millions of people walking around with inadequate stomach acid these days, and that's deliberate. That's due to the fact that people take powerful acid-blocking medications, and they seem to digest pretty well. So I think the role of inadequate hydrochloric acid is maybe a little bit exaggerated. I mean, look, it's not good to take these acid blocking pills because they mess up your digestion and absorption of nutrients. But yeah, just become a little wary of that test. I know it for some practices, it's standard, and it can be a bit of a moneymaker as well, a standard test to administer to patients. But I'm not enamored of it anymore. Thanks for your question, David. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Great hour, great questions. More coming up in hour two, so stay with us. Plus, we're going to take a look at a natural approach for people suffering from concussions. This is a big deal in this country with athletes and people getting banged on the head. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly one in three Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.